all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to what I think is Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, October 18th. Sam and I were fiddling with the controls and knobs over the commercial breaks, and now we've rendered it to the point where I couldn't hear the opening theme song. So I'm going to trust you, Sam, that we're here and that people heard all kinds of good music from us. But can I hear you?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
No. I can't hear you at all. That just goes to show you what we've been dealing with today. But as we continue fiddling, we were just explaining to the Secret Show listeners, the people who watch us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they hear us. Oh, are you there, Sam?
I am.
There. Now I hear you just fine.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Hey, let's do this just for fun. Give me a little bit of the opening theme. Is it right there?
Sure.
Okay. I just want to... There we go. Okay, now I feel like we're getting the hour started. We were telling the listeners online about all this is both a radio show, but it's also going out online. So there's things that Sam can control, things that I can control. There's all kinds of volume levels and inputs to deal with. And yet somehow we make the magic work, Sam, don't we?
We sure do.
Except when it doesn't.
But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But we're here now, and that's what counts on this Wednesday, October 18th. Oh, a lot of national days today here. It's National Chocolate Cupcake Day. We talked about it being National Alaska Day when Alaska was purchased from Russia, National Prayer Day, National Necktie Day, National Bra Day for Breast Cancer Awareness, National Mashed Potatoes Day, National Medical Assistance Day, National Ride Your Bike to Work Day, National Chamber of Commerce Day, National Menopause Day. Whatever day it is for you, have a happy one. Coming up this hour, a new lawsuit, Underwood v. Voss, argues that the voucher schools program didn't create choices in education so much as it created a cancer that threatens the very survival of public education in Wisconsin. We're going to talk to Julie Underwood, one of the plaintiffs bringing the suit, and Heather Dubois-Boronon of the Wisconsin Public Education Network about what could be a landmark lawsuit for education in the state of Wisconsin. That'll be coming up in our 7:30 half hour. We have been talking a lot this morning about our big story. It was the Wisconsin partisan political equivalent of Richard Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre, where in a temper tantrum of unprecedented proportions, Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate decided, for whatever reason yesterday, to fire at least 8 gubernatorial appointees from Governor Tony Evers, people who are currently serving in certain boards and posts, or at least they were until yesterday when these 8 people were fired, including Evers' appointees to the Natural Resources Board, to the point where the Natural Resources Board didn't have a quorum. They rendered it unable to meet or act in, again, an unprecedented display of disregard for all of these ordinary citizens who want to serve the people of Wisconsin, want to serve in government. But the Republicans fired these members of the State Natural Resources Board. Our friend Melissa Baldoff, who is the now former co-chair of the Council on Domestic Abuse, herself a domestic abuse survivor. And she told us in the last hour about how Senator Jesse James of Altoona, former police chief there, had said months back during her confirmation hearing that it was about her mean tweets. And he asked her if she hated men and, you know, was she emotional when she was tweeting? Again, just some of the crap we've unfortunately become accustomed to coming from people in elected Republican offices. It included former legislators like Dr. Sheldon Wasserman, who was until yesterday heading up the medical examining board. Joe Czarnecki, a former state senator and assembly rep and Milwaukee County clerk, who was fired from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That's right. Republicans could not fire Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They continue talking about impeaching her, but they were able to fire one of the Democratic members. It meant that for a time, Republicans controlled the Wisconsin Elections Commission 3-2 with one vacancy. Now, fortunately, Governor Evers was quickly able to appoint all new people to these positions. But it just shows you, well, first off, that the system needs to be fixed. The system worked fine for many, many years, but that's because nobody had never perverted it the way that Republicans have since Tony Evers was elected governor. Previously, any governor would nominate people to these agencies and boards and commissions and department heads, and they would go ahead and serve while waiting for the Senate to confirm them. And it was normally routine unless they were a criminal or something like that. But what these Republicans have done, these gerrymandered Republicans who have the hubris that comes from knowing that they can't be unelected, is that rather than confirm them, they just leave them hang. And if they ever feel like it, then they hold the confirmation vote. They reject their confirmation. And so after 5 years now with Governor Evers, some of these folks, they're essentially fired rather than confirmed. That's not how the confirmation process is supposed to work, but that's what Republicans have done to abuse the process. And so for all the details on that, you can see my story at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and learn much more about what happened yesterday. We'll take a break here. We'll get our complete weatherology forecast and talk a bit more about some of the other things. We'll unpack the news for you from the Capitol and more coming up right after this. You're up north. Glad you all enjoyed that musical interlude there. Sam, always feel free to jump in much sooner and say, hey, dummy, whatever you turned off to cough, turn it back on. So, as I was saying, and then we'll get to Jennifer here, that little bit of blood, sweat, and tears was brought to you by celebrated songwriter Laura Nyro, born this day in 1947 and passed away far too early in 1997 from cancer at the age of 49. 7 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin right now include 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota, 48 in Madison, Waukesha's at 45, La Crosse 48, Wausau's at 46, Wisconsin Rapids 47, Green Bay is 46 degrees, and Hayward is at 48 degrees right now. Jennifer Pachitsky is here from Weatherology to join us, and Jennifer, apologies for the delay in getting to you here, but let me set it up for you this way, and this isn't a question, you know, it's more of a comment, but I had thought when I was younger I might want to be a meteorologist, and one of the things I just could not get my head around that you have to do all the time is deal with things like today. It's one thing to see a strong storm system come. You see the front, you see the low pressure, whatever it is. But when you talk about days like this where it's going to be scattered rain, it might not, because I hear the phrase, a little piece of energy breaks off and that energy rumbles the atmosphere. And I tell you, Jen, I couldn't get my head around it, and that those people that can, like you, God bless you, because you're the ones that are asked, is it going to rain today or not? And you're going to say scattered, right?
That's the safe word there, yes.
because again, there's, you know, it's there's a science to it, but there's also nature going to do what nature's mm-hmm. going to do. So tell us what we think nature's going to do today around Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, it does look like a chance for some rain showers across the board today as a warm front, as you mentioned, that warm front comes in. Coming in during the morning hours around Amory and Baldwin, then a chance for everyone else in the afternoon today. Cloudy skies, mid to low 60s for most, above average for this time of the year as that system comes in. A chance for rain again for all on Thursday, slightly cooler tomorrow as a cold front comes in directly behind that. Highs in the mid to upper 50s, which is about where we should be for this time of the year. Then on Friday, kind of all over the place, actually. Slight chance for some rain in the afternoon around Milwaukee and Waukesha. Amory and Baldwin also around Wausau. Sunny skies expected for Madison to Richland Center and Oshkosh to Wisconsin Rapids. Looks like at least a slight chance for rain Friday night for everyone. Highs looking to get into the upper 50s to low 60s. A little warmer for southwestern Wisconsin, but overall not too much movement with those high temperatures for the middle and second part of the work week. For the weekend, Saturday looks like at least a slight chance for some showers in the morning hours from Madison over to Milwaukee, then becoming sunny. Sunshine around Richland Center too, then cloudy skies for everyone else, mid to upper 50s for the southern half of the state, mid to low 50s for central to west central Wisconsin. Sunday it looks like for most sunshine for everyone, but cloud cover is expected from Wausau over towards Baldwin, mid to low 50s mostly, maybe a few cooler spots in the upper 40s.
All right, Jen, we're glad to have you monitoring it for us. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Quick look at sports here in the baseball playoffs. The Phillies beat the Diamondbacks last night 10-0. Philly up 2-0 over Arizona in the National League Championship Series. In the American League Championship Series, Houston's up 2-0 over the Texas Rangers. And those two will tangle in Arlington, Texas coming up tonight. Now, unpacking the news here as we come up on 7:20. Plenty of other things happened in the state capitol yesterday besides the temper tantrum held by Republicans in the state Senate. The Republicans there also passed a bill that limits the rights of transgender youth and their families. And I have an editorial column about that in today's newsletter. You can subscribe to that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. The assembly passed the stadium bill, which lays out the ways that the state and local governments and the Milwaukee Brewers will all share the cost of renovations, repairs, and upgrades at American Family Field and keep the Brewers there for the foreseeable future. We're going to talk to Todd Alba a little bit later on about more job losses being announced at UW Oshkosh and the announced end of in-person classes at two more of the campuses that are commonly thought of as two-year centers, the Washington County campus in West Bend and the Fond du Lac campus as well. It's something Todd has talked about frequently on his show, so we'll get more into that a little bit later on before we wrap up our visit today. Also, the former chief clerk of the state Senate, who was removed from his job under mysterious circumstances a few weeks back. It was released yesterday that the reason dealt with allegations of sexual misconduct while away at a conference. We learned in the headlines as well that the person who brought a loaded handgun to the Capitol and walked toward the governor's office a couple of weeks back, the guy who didn't have a shirt on, had a dog on a leash, he was taken into custody briefly. He posted his own bail. He came back that night with a loaded assault weapon and was taken into custody again, this time for a little bit longer. He now will face criminal charges. Those charges are misdemeanors. And it does make one wonder, again, we've already asked out loud, what's it going to take for Wisconsin to get red flag laws for Republicans to stop protecting potential mass shooters? And we have to ask as well about the crime of walking into our state capitol with loaded weapons and potentially threatening the lives, not just of the governor, but that could be anybody. Lest people think this is just a one-party thing, I would point you to Steve Scalise, the Republican House member who almost became Speaker of the House last week, who has consistently been against gun safety legislation, was shot and gravely wounded in an attack on a congressional softball game several years back. That didn't change his mind at all, but it was, again, somebody who was gunning for Republicans. That could just as easily happen. And I ask out loud, in all sincerity, what is it going to take? This is not something that is alien in this country. Whether it's Louisiana's Huey Long being gunned down in their state capitol, or George Moscone, the mayor of San Francisco, being gunned down in City Hall. Political assassinations are very real. And we're not saying that politicians are somehow more special than other people. We can all be victims of gun crimes. But we also know that public figures, including our political leaders, do play a special role in terms of being attacked. And that is why we have the Secret Service. And it's why we look for safety and security in our government. And does more need to be done so that right now, because of the way Republicans have structured our gun laws, it is not illegal to walk into the state capitol brandishing a firearm. It's only illegal if you're concealing it and don't have a concealed weapons permit. That's perverted. And that's something that needs to be changed. In the 3rd Congressional District, we learned yesterday of now a fifth candidate on the Democratic side who wants to run. His name is Eric Wilson. He's from Eau Claire. We reached out and we will get to meet him Friday morning. About this time Friday morning, day after tomorrow, we'll talk to Eric Wilson about what's motivating him to run. And frankly, we'll ask rather bluntly, why run when there are three fairly well-known candidates already in Rebecca Cook, also from the Eau Claire area, Tara Johnson, the former chair of the La Crosse County Board, and State Representative Katrina Shanklin from the Stevens Point area. There's also a young man, Aaron Niles, who does not live in the 3rd District, has never lived in the 3rd District, is from the Milwaukee area, is actually studying at Harvard Law School out east, but who has announced for the seat as well, and has said that when he graduates next spring, he's going to move to the 3rd District and run. So between his candidacy and Eric Wilson's candidacy, these two young men are going to be asked rather directly what it is that they offer that's different from these other three women, two of whom have served for a long time in elected office, and the other in Rebecca Cook, who won the majority of counties in the Democratic primary last year across the 3rd Congressional District. And so Eric Wilson will be the latest in our series of candidate interviews about people lining up to run against Derek Van Orden. Derek Van Orden, who last we checked has not thrown any profanity-laced temper tantrums, was actually last seen on the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday making Kevin McCarthy laugh out loud about something. There's a photo that was going around social media late yesterday that showed it was Jim Jordan who was finding out just how badly he was not liked by some of his own members as he went down in flames yesterday in his attempt to become Speaker of the House, at least on the first ballot. He's sitting there huddled up with some House members, and a couple of rows behind him is Kevin McCarthy just laughing about something loudly. And Derek Van Orden with his back to us, basically saying something in Kevin McCarthy's ear. We don't know what it is, but it does make us wonder, is anybody taking this seriously? I mean, we have the Middle East blowing up right now. We have an entire federal government that could be shut down in the next couple of weeks if there isn't some kind of a federal budget deal. There's no farm bill yet to provide stability to Wisconsin farmers. There is aid to Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, and border security. That's all being gummed up in the works. And, apparently right now we've got nothing better to do than joke around on the floor of the House of Representatives, looking for something to make light of until Republicans can agree on who should lead them. Some of the comments that have come in from those of you watching on Facebook or other social media sites, Thomas talks about Capitol Police and people in there with weapons, and he notes that it seems they prefer to lock up people who sing, referring to all of the protesters during the Scott Walker era. Mary writes in, I don't understand why people continue to vote for Republicans who continue to be dysfunctional, putting their own interests above we the people. And Roger writes in that once again, Republicans say the government is a huge mess. They sell you on it, you vote them in, and then they create a bigger mess to the point where it's now chaos. And so those are some of the comments that you're making online. You're certainly welcome to make comments right here live on the radio at 844-967-2789, or you can email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or you can text us at that same number, 844-967-2789. You can text us directly or through the Civic Media app. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Julie Underwood and Heather Dubois-Bornon about what could be a landmark lawsuit in the state of Wisconsin, taking aim at the voucher school program, which did stand up to legal scrutiny once before, but that's when it was a small experimental program. It's a behemoth now and a direct threat to constitutionally protected public education in Wisconsin. So we'll learn about the mechanics of that lawsuit from our two guests coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio. Yeah. In this dirty old part of the city. All right, we're back now talking about the newly filed lawsuit that takes aim at what I refer to for shorthand purposes as the voucher school program. There's a lot more to it. There's multiple programs. There are things that are private, things that are quasi-public. And so we'll get the details on what exactly a new lawsuit wants to have done with Julie Underwood, who's one of the plaintiffs in the case, former dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, and Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Heather, Julie, nice to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Julie, let's start with you because your name is on the suit, and because Robin Voss, the assembly speaker, is one of the defendants. I think we'll be knowing the lawsuit as Underwood versus Voss, Underwood v. Voss. So I'm going to let you have the honors of explaining in your own words what is Underwood v. Voss.
Well, first, thank you very much, and thanks for everybody who's interested in these issues. First of all, let's talk about the name, Underwood versus Voss. Yes, I'm one of a group of six named plaintiffs, but we're really representing everyone who supports public schools and everyone who is against vouchers. And normally, a lawsuit like this would be filed against the Department of Public Instruction, which it is, and against the state because the state's, you know, like the state budget officer and those kind of things. But we chose to put Robin Voss up front because Robin Voss is actually the one who has caused more damage to public schools in the time that he's been in office than anyone else. And it's the legislature that's created these programs. Department of Public Instruction has to administer them, but the legislature's created these programs. So we thought it was important to put Voss front and center.
So now go ahead and tell us what it is that the suit aims to do. Best case scenario.
Okay, I'll do it really fast. Mm-hmm. Two things, two important things, and all the voucher programs in the state of Wisconsin. And we can talk about how big they are. They are a behemoth, just like you said. And second, end the spending caps that the legislature has put on public school districts across the state of Wisconsin, because they've been strangling public schools as well. And so it would do those two things, and I'd be glad to unpack them however you want to.
All right. Let's bring in Heather as well, because Heather, along with everybody at the Wisconsin Public Education Network, they have been tireless advocates, not just for public education overall, but then especially with this growing threat of the voucher school system. Heather, just give me your overview of it when people say, what is it that you guys just filed? How do you explain it to lay people?
Yeah, well, first of all, we're not directly involved in the filing of the case, but I've been fielding questions about it since the news came out, and people are just feeling a sense of relief that this is a long overdue intervention, as vouchers increasingly have shrunk the size of the pot that's available in public school fundings across the state. And we are seeing more and more and more belt tightening as the level of funding for public schools hasn't even kept pace with inflation for 16 years, while the state continues to invest disproportionately in this side program that plays by its own set of rules. So as people have seen the impacts of that play out at the local level, they are growing increasingly frustrated with how unfair that system is and questioning whether or not it's constitutional.
And the system itself, as I understand it, Julie, is this. The Wisconsin state constitution essentially guarantees and dictates a free as what practicable public education to students, says nothing about paying for two parallel school systems. And yet it sure seems that's where we are in Wisconsin these days.
Absolutely. So Article 10, Section 3, the Wisconsin Constitution guarantees all children in the state of Wisconsin a public education, tuition-free, and it has to be uniform as practicable. So it has the legislature has to create a system of public schools. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
And isn't that what we really get at here, is that when this was first started, when voucher schools were started as a small experiment in Milwaukee, people said, let's try this because test scores in Milwaukee aren't very good, et cetera. And that's when it was legally challenged, and courts then said, yeah, we'll, you know, let this go forward. And frankly, there just hasn't been the political climate until now to challenge it. And again, Heather, it's the immense growth in this that is crying out for a court to once again be asked, is this right?
Yeah, people are paying close attention to this. Almost every bit of voucher expansion that we've seen in this state has happened in sort of sneaky last minute budget moves without opportunity for public impact. And so the sort of shady way that these have been forced through politically is largely because there's no public clamor for them. What the public sees when these programs roll out is that parents and students are losing the rights and protections that are afforded them in our public schools only. And kids are not necessarily getting their needs met in this private system either. So what we want at Wisconsin Public Education Network is the state to restore its commitment to making sure that every single kid has equal access to an excellent public school, and that we are funding those schools at the levels that they need to make sure that all students can thrive. Only our public schools have that obligation. And until the state starts meeting that obligation, I really don't know how we can justify throwing all of our money away in a system that doesn't protect the rights of kids.
So, Julie, let's go beyond the voucher school system itself. As you noted, this is in part about revenue caps, revenue limits, something that, again, I don't think I see it in the state constitution anyplace, but that legislators at some point said, well, public schools are overtaxing in their opinion, and that something needs to be done about it. How does that fit into this lawsuit?
Well, it fits into this lawsuit in that the legislature has created these revenue caps. They call it revenue caps. They're actually spending caps. And there are different caps for every district across the state of Wisconsin. And these spending limits were created at a time when the state was committed to providing 2/3 funding, and they wanted to control how much the locals were spending, because when the locals raised their spending, it kicked in a match from the state. So it was 2/3 funding. Also, the legislature had said at that time that there was going to be an escalator on it, so there was a regular cost of living increase. And there also was at the same time a piece about teacher salary negotiations. Now, since this happened, you know, long time ago, 30 years ago, there are no more teacher negotiations, since during the Walker years, we ended teacher unions, basically, public unions, basically. So that doesn't exist anymore. The cost of living increase also ended during the Walker years, when they actually cut those spending limits. They rather than taking them up, they cut them down, and we haven't had those adjustments, regular adjustments, since then. And of course, you know, what's left?
Yeah, they haven't maintained the program that they had set up, the you know, the promises that they had made.
Now, to be fair, they have gone back to 2/3 funding, but only because the the spending has shrunk so much, the local spending has shrunk so much that the state has technically is now spending two-thirds money for the public education budget. But it's also a little accounting trick. So in that two-thirds, they add in property tax relief and a bunch of other stuff that really does not go to schools. It does not go to kids in the classroom for sure.
It has become convoluted to the point where it kind of looks like that meme of a criminal investigation board, and there's pieces of string all over the board. You try to explain the school funding formula to people. I try
to explain the school funding formula a lot, and so does Heather.
So it leads
complex and unnecessarily like opaque. It's not transparent at all.
It leads to this question then. If successful, let me frame it this way, in the terms of the gerrymandering lawsuit. Because again, in both cases, it's taken 15 years of conservative control of the state Supreme Court to finally go away because of the voters. You now have progressive control of the court, and so you have this new challenge to the gerrymandered maps, and now a challenge to voucher schools. In the case of the gerrymandered maps, what's being sought, and the motions were filed this week making it official, was to say, members of the court, we would like you to not only throw out these old maps, we would like you to redraw the maps. Don't take, submissions from other people. Courts have drawn the maps before. You draw the maps. Is there a parallel there in that in this lawsuit, are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula, or just to throw this out and the legislature has to do something to revise how schools are funded in Wisconsin?
No. This would not draw a new school finance formula. As a matter of fact, this is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. And it's asking the court to strike those voucher programs so that and the independent charters programs so that those no longer exist in the state of Wisconsin. Those private schools are no longer funded out of the public school budget any longer. And it's asking to strike the revenue limits. So it's not asking the court to come up with something new, because that's the legislature's responsibility. The Constitution says it's the legislature's responsibility to fund public schools and to create those systems.
It sounds to me, Heather, like what would come from all of this is, rather than saying, hey, court, draw something new, is like if you strip this down, if you take some of the gunk out, which would be the voucher school program and the revenue limits, you actually would have a streamlined way to fund schools that would fund public schools properly.
Exactly, Pat. I mean, ending these unaccountable programs puts us on a path towards seeking the fairness all of our kids deserve. We know that this state can afford to fully and fairly fund its public schools, but for reasons that baffle all of us, they choose not to. Instead, they've invested in a program that we're spending nearly $500 million a year on already that has its cap slated to come off in just 2 years. We have to be prepared for what we're going to do in that moment and make sure that we are protecting the students who attend the schools our Constitution requires us to provide an excellent education in, and make sure that they have their needs met. And so this suit could go a long way into setting the stage for that circumstance and getting Wisconsin back on a path towards fairness and excellence and restoring its commitment to its children. Pat, I think you are muted.
There I do. I did it again. I got to get a brighter light on this computer. Like on TV, a great big red light bulb, hangs down from the studio. I need one of those, or maybe something that puts an electric shock on my chair. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. I was simply going to conclude by saying that our friend Kirk Bangstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company, Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, has been an unabashed champion helping fundraise for the legal expenses in this. He talks about it on his own podcast and radio show on Thursday nights on another network. We'll talk more about that at another time, but because we've run out of time here, I've got just enough time to thank you, Heather, and to thank you, Julie, and to say come back frequently with every update of the case along the way, and we wish you all the best with it. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Happy to come back anytime.
Oh, we'll count on it. We'll every motion that gets filed, they're going to get a phone call from me saying, all right, come on, let's get an update on this, because people are going to watch this like they're watching the gerrymandering lawsuit, like they're watching the challenge to the 1849 abortion ban, all of this that could lead to, frankly, a new day in Wisconsin and emerge from, you know, more than a decade of darkness. Todd Alba will be up next to talk about what's on his show, including the recent news about some very sad news coming from the University of Wisconsin system. Back after this, you're up north.
Girl, there's a better life for me and you. Believe me, baby.
This is Stony End?
Stony End from Barbara Streisand. One more from Laura Nero on the anniversary of her birth before we wrap things up. Todd Alba joins us now, and Todd, one scarcely knows where to begin. Such a fire hose of news yesterday. And I just want to start it by saying this really underscores the value of the Civic Media Radio Network and all of the various hosts and shows. Because I'm sure a lot of people were paying attention to the stadium bill. It's gotten a lot of attention, and that's fine. I have been putting a special emphasis on the Republican legislators firing 8 of Governor Evers' appointees because it is a blatant perversion of democracy. And so there's my emphasis, and I don't want people to normalize it. You got the news of more layoffs at UW Oshkosh and the end of in-person classes in West Bend and Fond du Lac, and that was a huge emphasis on your show. All of these are very important, and you get from a variety of shows and hosts, you know, you get to learn about each one of them instead of the same show over and over again. I didn't hear the show yesterday. I saw that you were quickly putting together a special edition, and I'm sure it was terrific shining a light on what is happening at the UW system. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Pat. Number one, I think you're absolutely right. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of this network across the state of Wisconsin with people like you and others in the lineup that have these different abilities to pull in people. I'm fortunate that, you know, I'm a product of the UW system. My grandmother was the first woman dean in the state of Wisconsin, and I know a lot of people in that area. So when the news broke on Monday that Oshkosh was going to lose 1 in 6 employees due to forced layoffs and furloughs to their budget deficit there, I'm like, holy crap. And so I started kind of putting this together. And then yesterday we had, in real time, we called the first hour, the UW system, and yes, I'm still calling it that, the UW system in crisis. And because that's what I mean, when you start losing universities by the hour, and never before have we had this type of thing happen, and then you add on to that, so then UW Fond du Lac, a 2-year satellite of Oshkosh, President Rothman and the system announced that was closing, or quote-unquote suspending classes. We all know what that means. It means they're done. As well as Washington County, a satellite of UW-Milwaukee. And then add on to that, Republicans in the legislature, in the committee, said actually that 6% budget increase, or pay increase we approved in the budget, yeah, not so much. We're not going to allow that because, you know, we're a little salty about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I don't know what more it takes to call something a crisis, Pat. And then, of course, you and I talked last week about this lipstick on a pig of rebranding, spending $500,000 to rebrand. And, you know, I said this in our show. I think maybe we talked about it. It was obviously a harbinger of things to come because system literally took off the 2-year colleges off the map of UW system. And I believe now, I mean, and we said these things a year ago, and a lot of people, you know, scoffed at us, 11 months ago when we were at UW Richland talking about this and said, this is a canary in the coal mine, what's happening at Richland Center. And people said, no, you're crazy. I now believe that every 2-year college in the UW system is at jeopardy of closing.
And not only do you have that, but then exacerbated, as you hinted at, and I have barely even talked about it on my show this morning, but that Republicans, again, day before yesterday, I believe, or yesterday morning, time means nothing now in politics in modern-day America, where Republicans on a committee, again, cemented the fact that tens of thousands of UW employees are having their pay raises held back, being held hostage because of what can only appear to be the racist motivations of certain Republicans to embrace racial diversity, equity, inclusion, the offices and the staff positions that go along with it.
Yeah, it's preposterous to me when our universities are struggling. We had Jason Stein on from the Wisconsin Policy Institute yesterday, and he pointed out this is what is happening now. This has been a lack of funding for the University of Wisconsin system by the legislature, predominantly Republicans, over several years. We are behind other public universities in the country, to say nothing of about retention and recruitment in this university. I mean, the current president talks about, well, you know, we have to be competitive. Well, what does it say when we have a historic lack of transparency from the system about what's going on and the legislature? And by the way, Pat, where the heck are the Board of Regents? I haven't heard a peep from them in literally well over a year. And also, you know, and I'm a supporter of Governor Evers, but where is the governor in this? The university system is in crisis, and we hear nary a word. It is preposterous to me how we are letting our institution, the Wisconsin idea, die on the vine. I had my former boss on, Republican Dale Schultz. He said on the air yesterday, he doesn't know of a Republican in the Senate Republican caucus who actually values or cares about the Wisconsin idea, and he still calls himself a Republican.
It boggles the imagination, and it's coming from all these different fronts. And so I'd better, in the interest of fairness, throw myself in this mix as well.
Sure.
But as a former legislator, you know, the 2 year period that Democrats, you know, were in control of the legislature, unfortunately, we couldn't do all the things we wanted to do because there was this thing called the Great Recession that was going on, an immense budget pressure. But I can't use that as a full excuse, except to say that when we say the UW is getting it from over a decade of Republican leadership, Scott Walker and Act 10, mm-hmm. but also the demographics, not just of the baby boomers, but the demographic cliff of the huge drop off in birth rates during the Great Recession, which that is just coming of college age right now. And then the management of the system itself currently, when you have all of those factors in play, it just does not paint an optimistic future. And yet I have to ask you in the 1 minute that I'm giving you to do this, obviously not with this current legislature, but mm-hmm. if things were to change 2 years from now, let's put it over dramatically. Can this system be saved?
Well, I think it can be because I still believe in the Wisconsin idea. I think what we just need is transparency and truth. You'll remember a guy named Lee Sherman Dreyfus, former yeah. Republican governor. He was notorious for just being blunt. And you know, if the cupboard's bare and we don't have the ability to support a UW system like we've known, if we don't have the infrastructure in terms of recruiting students, just tell us the truth. Have an honest dialogue about that. Jay Rothman should actually have a legit town hall. Just tell the truth. Governor Evers, tell the truth. Board of Regents, tell the truth. Wisconsin can handle it. But we need to have transparency and understand what we're doing. Former Chancellor Kathy Sandine laid this out in 2018. That was killed by former President Ray Cross of the system. There's a lack of transparency, Pat. And Wisconsin can handle anything, but we just need to know the facts.
I don't know if you saw it the other day, but I dropped and broke the only Up North News coffee mug. And so it seems apparent that the one I'm using right now features Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. Just saying, oi, because really, what else can you say at this point?
That is a perfect way to put it. Really,
I feel very Roy Kent-y right now. Todd Alba, 1-3. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Pat.
Talk to you a little bit later on. All right. Your occasional reminder, Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so thankful to be part of the Civic Media Radio Network for these 2 hours every morning. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Follow me on social media at Pat Quitelow Up North. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.